Hello and welcome to the Noodlebugs podcast, where we discuss aspects of the natural world. I hope you enjoy today's podcast. Hello everybody, today I'm here with Madeline, and I'm actually here in the Masterton Ranges, which is extremely exciting. You can probably hear the chickens in the background. Would you like to say hello, Madeline?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. So first, I was wondering about your story, if you could just give us a quick recap, because some of us might already know, but others might not, so.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ned. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's a great privilege. And I hope you can hear the girls in the background. They're probably excited too. My story started when I was 8 years old. And I was also homeschooled, which is pretty cool. My parents decided to teach me my English and maths without sitting me down at our dining room table for hours going through books. And they thought if I ran a business, I would learn all those skills without knowing I was learning them. So the maths came from counting eggs each day, keeping records of the eggs that we collected. English was writing out egg cartons, writing out invoices. And another important skill, which I got from running a business at a very young age, was communication. Mm. So talking to people at farmers markets, ringing up restaurants and cafes, and just without communication between one another, we can't go very far in life. And my parents saw that as a really great skill for a young individual little girl like me when I was 8. And that's kind of how my story started.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. So at that age, were you completely independent running your business? Like, were you just doing that of your own, accord? Or did your parents kind of go, okay, you should run a business, what do you want to do?
Well, a bit of both. So I was very independent, feisty young lady. My parents definitely like helped push me in the right direction. So they went out and bought the chickens for me. We started with 20 chickens. They gave me a loan of $200. The chickens were $10 each. Mm-hmm. And it took me 3 months to pay back that loan. And obviously at 8 years old, there's a chicken on our roof.
There's a chicken on the roof.
And at 8 years old, you can't drive anywhere. So my parents were very helpful in driving me to the farmers markets, delivering the eggs to the local cafes. So I was independent in the fact that I fed the chickens, kept all the records, but also relied heavily on parent support with, getting produce around.
Wow, that must have been a pretty incredible thing to be able to do.
It was. I didn't probably know how awesome it was. I just thought it was, part of my life and everyone was doing cool things like this. Hope you can hear that chicken on the roof.
Yeah. So
there's another one. We're getting invaded.
Yeah. So now, currently, I was wondering, what does a day in the life look like for your chickens? Like, what do they do every day? Like, what would they be eating? What would they be drinking? Would they be playing? Like, what would they do?
What a great question, actually. So chickens wake up pretty early. My girls get up around 4 a.m., which is much earlier than I do. They wake up pretty hungry and thirsty, so they often have a quick drink. I've got water accessible in their chicken houses. So they have a drink and then they jump outside and they can start eating food. It's often still dark at this point, but they can see pretty well in the dark. But I've also got lights in the shed, so that kind of gives a bit of extra light. They start laying around 5 a.m. So the younger hens, so the ones who've just started laying for the first time, would start heading towards nest boxes to lay an egg pretty early. The older girls head straight out into the paddock to do foraging. So they'll go and find the first early worms, the early bugs. Once all the bugs and worms have gone, they'll start attacking the leafy greens, maybe have a dust bath, and then they will come back to the sheds to lay an egg. So you've kind of got these two different age groups of chickens doing different things. So the younger hens lay their egg first, and then they head out foraging and looking for food. Depending on the weather and the season, if it's like summer, for example, after they've done that and it starts to get a bit hot, it would spend the rest of the day in the shade, maybe dust bathing. If it's winter and not raining, they would spend all day in the field. If it does start to rain, they'll head back to the house for shelter. And then in the afternoons, around 1 o'clock, we come out to collect eggs. So I've got a bunch of staff that are helping me now, and they're amazing. And we've also got lots of pet chickens. So we've got ones that have extra names, which is really cool. So they've all got identification codes, leg bands, and some of them have 2 leg bands, and they're our special ones. So when the employees come to collect eggs, those special ones often come for a cuddle with people or help collect. Mm. And then after all the eggs are collected, the chickens are back to their normal routine of foraging, and they go to bed and do it all over again. It's a pretty awesome life to be a free-range organic chicken.
Wow, so do you not have to feed them? Do they just find their own food? They scavenge for their own food?
They scavenge for quite a bit, but they do have access through feeders, large feeders, which hold 1 ton of food. So they can jump on a perch under the shelter and eat to their heart's content.
And what sorts of things do you feed them? Does it change throughout the year?
That's another really important and awesome question, because being a certified organic egg farmer, we feed our chickens a very different diet to most chickens. So it's actually a balanced diet of different grains, spelt, wheat, barley, corn. It's got like things like oregano oil, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, all different mixed together, made into a pellet form so that they can all have the same balanced diet and produce rather similar sized eggs. But because I'm certified, all these grains that my chickens eat are grown on other certified organic farms. And these farms are like me, don't use any herbicides, pesticides. I don't add any hormones to my chickens' food. I don't add any things like artificial food colourers. Some free-range farmers and cage and barn farms add food colouring to their chickens' food to enhance the egg yolk. So when the chicken eats food colouring, it makes the yolk really bright, which is crazy, hey?
That is very interesting, because I have noticed that your egg yolks are a lot paler than some other brands.
Yeah, so my egg yolks, you've noticed that that's really clever, but they also seasonally fluctuate. So when it's like pretty much now, actually, my egg yolks are getting probably the brightest they will be, because they're eating lots of green feed, and then obviously during summer there's not much green feed around, so it'll drop down. But yeah, they're just a natural egg yolk colour. It's cool.
That's extremely interesting. So what are the benefits of this way of farming that is not nearly as popular as just treating chickens a lot less well?
There's lots of different benefits. There's a huge health benefit to the human who eats those eggs. They're not getting any nasty chemicals in their diet. But it's also beneficial to all the chickens, getting a healthier diet. And the sustainable aspect of organic farming is really cool too. So it's a whole supported ecosystem of farms which are getting supported. So the grain growers are getting supported by getting a higher price for their grains. The egg farmers like myself are fertilizing and building carbon in the soil by the chickens free ranging and moving around. And then the end product is people like you and me who get to eat these yummy eggs.
Yeah. So when you were very young.
Yes.
It would have been a lot easier to maintain that sort of very beyond organic chickens.
Yes.
But now, once you've grown a bit as a much more popular business, has it been hard to keep it ecologically friendly and humane for the chickens, or has it been pretty easy?
That's a really interesting question. I think it's stayed the same. The only thing I can think of that may have changed is when I was younger, like before 12, I bred all my own chickens, so I'd hatch all the eggs myself, which meant that the mother chickens had a really good life, whereas The only thing I really do different now is I buy my chicks, my day-old chicks in at 1 day old, and I raise them up on organic feed from there. And I... Oh, it's slightly complicated, so give me a minute to explain this.
Yeah, certainly.
For me to hatch, for example, 500 female baby chicks, I would need 1,000 eggs, because 500 of them would be female, 500 would be male. Mm-hmm. For me to get 1,000 eggs to hatch, I'd need to have 2,000 eggs. So I'd need almost 2,000 chickens. There they go. To lay fertile eggs, to put in the incubator, to then hatch to get my 500 hens. You'd have 500 roosters that I wouldn't know what to do because I produce eggs. Mm. And it's quite hard to rehome 500 chickens. And to raise them up for meat to be eaten, the roosters to be eaten, is totally fine. But people in our Western culture don't like eating a skinny chicken. They like a really big fat chicken, roast chicken. So we're not in a culture of eating roosters. But when I buy my chicks in from the factories now, the hatcheries have this awesome technology where they change the heat ever so slightly in the incubation process that every egg hatches female. So there's
every single one.
Every single egg hatches female. So there's no roosters being, you may have seen those vegan videos on social media of baby chicks being chucked in blenders, and they
I've never seen a video of a chicken being chucked in a blender. What are you talking
about? Absolutely horrible. But that's what they used to do, is just throw all the male chicks into a blender and make them into dog food or other things. So it was such a horrible part of the chicken industry, which is now being fixed with some amazing technology.
Anyway,
in a bit of a circle, what I'm trying to say is, for me to be an egg farmer, it's hard for me to also be a hatchery, because I've got to have so many chickens laying fertile eggs, which I can only use for hatching, and then I have all this problem with the roosters. So I've picked being an egg farmer, not a hatchery. I hope that makes sense. It's pretty complicated. Yeah.
So does that mean that your website is slightly outdated then? Because on there it says that you have 50, that you have male roosters, and 50% of them are sold for meat, and 35% of them are...
I haven't updated my website, because this technology only came out about 6 months ago.
Oh, wow. So very
recent. Actually, no, a bit more than that. 9 months ago. So it's super new. So yeah, the hatchery... I need to update my website.
Yeah, you need to.
Because that was what was happening. They were going, most of them were going to the zoo, but some of them weren't. Yeah. It's so cool. I love it.
Yeah, that's a pretty awesome, piece of technology there.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, oh my God.
The chicken in the car.
Chicken in the car.
Oh, I guess she wants to come lay an egg there.
Do you think we can do anything
about
that? Or
probably all right.
Yeah, probably.
She's not too noisy. Yeah, keep going.
Okay, so I was wondering, ecology, quality of life for the chickens,
yes,
or health, like which of these three criteria that you often want to meet do you put first in terms of chicken farming? I mean, of course, when doing it organically, you often tick multiple boxes at once.
Mm.
But I was wondering also, what are the sacrifices you've had to make on one to satisfy the other one a bit better?
Good question. Just push that chicken out. I think I'm pretty good at meeting all my ethics. I ethics is a really big, important thing for me, because, like, if I want to look someone in the eye when I sell my product and be like, this is healthy, this is going to benefit you, this is going to taste good, and it's, I'm not faking, I'm not conning you. I like it. So, well, here she is again. she's out now. That's really important to me. But the one probably aspect which I feel not like I could do better, I don't know how I could do it better, but I wish I could change a bit, is how long I keep my chickens for. So chickens lay the most amount of their eggs in the first year and a half, or 90 weeks, you could say, of life. And then they drastically slow down from there. and I used to keep them for 2 years and then rehome them. But what I found was keeping them for that extra 6 months of life here at the farm was costing me almost an extra $100,000 in chicken food because they were eating more than they were laying eggs. So now I have to sell them earlier than I would preferably like, so that I don't go backwards and that I also can sell my eggs at as cheap as I can, even though organic eggs are a lot more expensive. It all comes down to the organic chicken food that they eat. So what I've done is I now sell my chickens at almost a year and a half or 90 weeks. And they go to different friends like Jake. I've got another guy called Wade, another guy called Vald, and they keep them and then they rehome them. I just wish they could stay with me for longer. We put so much effort into loving them, looking after them, and keeping them really happy. And it just feels slightly sad to say goodbye to them a bit too early. Mm. But it's also trying to produce a cost-effective egg. Does that make sense?
How can you tell when a chicken is getting older? And do you have people manually rehome them or take them out of the...
Well, I do it myself. So I come out here and catch them at night. How I tell is by an identification band. So I don't know if you can see outside the window and all the chickens, but this is Green Group, these girls, and they all have a green leg band. So that tells me when they were born, so I know when to rehome them.
So they have an expiry date.
They do. It's a weird way to look at an animal, but yeah.
So another thing is, I was wondering, how do you go about your day now that you don't do everything yourself? Is it more of like a telling people what to do, or do you still do lots of manual stuff?
Bit of both. I get a bit of... I'm one of those people that loves to do it all. A bit of FOMO if there's something fun happening and I'm not involved. But I also have to constantly tell myself and remind myself I have three little girls, a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old and a 6-month-old. And they need me a lot more than... they just need me a lot. So most of my days are meeting... different employees, giving them different jobs. So there's lots of different maintenance jobs. What else? Yeah, fixing things. I do a lot of the fixing. Like if the egg cleaning machine has a hiccup or something breaks, often I'm the one that fixes it. And I do all the stuff that can be done on my phone. So contacting the restaurants and cafes each day, all the health food shops and greengrocers. Organising the spreadsheets, the run sheets. We had a certified organic NASA inspection yesterday, so that was getting all the paperwork in order so I could show them, prove to them that the amount of eggs I sold wasn't more than the amount of chickens I have on site. So all those kinds of tricky bits. And lots of that stuff can be done on my phone, which is awesome, so I can be doing that while I've got my two little kids at home.
Yeah.
It's awesome to be able to run a business and have a family.
Yeah, I'd imagine that would be a pretty incredible thing to be able to do.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, so when you have a beyond organic chicken farm, I know apparently it's actually quite difficult to keep organic or free range certification when you're going beyond organic, because I know a egg company called Breathe Hen, they have beyond organic or quote unquote beyond organic hens, but they don't actually have organic certification because they just let the chickens eat whatever they want, so they can't guarantee that there won't be anything with like a genetically modified organism in it or something.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't know that farm in particular. I do know though that when you are certified, I've had my soil in this chicken paddock tested to make sure there's no chemical residue, and I know all the grain growers that produce the grains for my chickens have had their soils tested too, and the feed mill that mixes it gets it tested too. So there is, when you are certified, there's 100% no chemical residue anywhere on site. The idea of beyond organic, I think, I hope it's not a marketing term, because I think, yeah, like what I'm doing feels slightly beyond organic. It's like not just being organic, it's also, well, it probably is just being organic, because to be certified organic, it has to be humane, it has to be animal welfare approved, it has to be as natural as possible. So the chicken needs to have, you know, all day accessible to the outside world. Whereas if you're just free range means a minimum of 5 minutes a day.
Yeah, I looked up what free range means, and they can even be de-beaked and stuff. It's really bad.
De-beaked, they can, yeah, have their wings stripped. They can be, like, the access to the outside world can be on the same patch of grass or dirt, probably by this time, every day for their entire life. Some people argue that barn eggs are better than bad scale free range eggs, because at least barn eggs have new wood chips or sawdust put in the shed every few weeks, whereas when you're access to the outside and it's just a muddy paddock, you're just in the same mud every day.
Yeah,
which is pretty sad.
That is a bit sad.
Yeah, it makes me sad.
So what do you think when you see someone who thinks that that is not such a bad thing and thinks that chickens, maybe they should be de-beaked or have only 5 minutes of outside time, like, what do you think when you see or meet someone who thinks that? And do you think that anyone actually thinks that, or is that just in pursuit of the cheapest eggs possible?
Probably, yeah, definitely price. Some people are short for money, and I think price really plays a big part in that. I don't know how someone could, like, feel that's right in their heart, though, to produce an egg like that.
No, that sounds extremely wrong to me.
Yeah.
But then there are still farms that do that, but I guess perhaps they have a reason, like, otherwise they might not be able to keep their, like, they don't have the funds to...
Yeah, exactly. Funds come down to a lot of problems and people's choices. And most of the like, catering companies or the food processing companies use these kinds of eggs, so caged eggs and barn eggs and bad scale free range eggs, because they're cheap and they're trying to produce a pastry, for example, which is affordable to people. It's the people like you and I who shop in, let's say, more small scale, you know, greengrocers and health food shops and at markets and stuff, that would only we're happy to pay that extra couple of dollars for a free range, a good quality free range or a certified organic dozen.
Yeah. It's quite sad when you think about it that, like, that is even an issue. That, like, because people can't afford organic eggs, maybe, or because they don't have access to them, then the chickens end up being treated badly, when none of that is really necessary.
Yeah, I totally agree.
There's enough space for all the chickens, and there's enough eggs for all the humans.
There is.
But not everyone has an egg that is good quality, and not every chicken has a paddock that is good quality.
So true, and I have said that before to people, because if you think about myself as a farmer, I only have 5,000 chickens, whereas some of these big scale, you know, free range and cage farms might have 200,000 hens. But if you broke that, you know, let's just say they had 100,000 hens, you could actually have, 20 farms the size of me. So it could be supporting 20 families instead of one family doing it, you know, but not the right way, in our opinion.
Yeah.
You know, having caged eggs. So,
yeah.
Which would be really cool. More jobs. And better quality eggs and happier chickens like these girls.
Yeah. Also, more jobs for dogs.
Exactly.
So with that, also, not just in chicken farming, but also in, like, all of farming and the whole farming industry in general, I was wondering, what are some overall changes you'd like to see happen in this industry?
Ah, that's a really cool question. I would love to see more sustainable farms, or Well, people... No, that's not what... I would love to see people supported for farming sustainability. For farmers, you know, grazing, doing rotational grazing or... moving animals around, you know, planting vegetation, windbreaks, reforesting. Anyone who does anything sustainable, I would love to see the government or the community helping them out financially. Because farming is one of those jobs where it's 7 days a week and it sucks your finances. Yeah. There's so many things that need fixing and that break down and... Yeah, it's such a full-time job. I'd love to see rich farmers. Like, I'd love to see people getting into farming because they know it's a healthy lifestyle and they'll be rewarded for it, for all their hard work, not getting into it just because they care about the environment and then working so hard that they don't feel like they're appreciated for what they do.
Like, maybe there should be a pension for farmers something. Or small-scale farmers or something so you can get it started.
Yeah. In some countries, you're subsidised quite heavily for farming, which I think is really important because, I mean, what do? 3 times a day? You eat food, right?
Yeah. Probably more for me.
Probably more. Me too. And, like, how many times a year do you see your, you know, let's just say your accountant? You know, well, you don't see an accountant.
I don't have an accountant.
That's a terrible example. How many times a year do you see a doctor? Maybe once or twice?
Not very many times.
No, but do you need a doctor 3 times a day?
No.
No, you should see your farmer at least once a year. And some people don't even ever meet their farmers. Like, they, unless you go to a farmer's market, you're not going to meet your farmer. Yet you use them or need them 3 times a day minimum. Mm. So I just think it's such an important part of everybody's everyday life. It would be great if there was more farmers doing it ethically, and then also supported for that.
Yeah. So how did you manage to do it then? Like, how did your silly little homeschool project turn into what you do, you know? How did you become an expert on
an expert
this?
In the egg industry? Through great support and a few really cool little things. So when I was 12, I got contacted by a guy called Brian McKenzie who worked for SBS, and he made a documentary about my life.
I think I've watched that.
Yeah.
Maybe I watched some Lost documentary Harvest. About you. I don't know if it was that one, but yes. I did watch one about you.
So when I was 12, that went live, and a few million people around Australia watched SBS and saw this documentary about me and saw my life. And pretty much from then on, I had a waiting list of shops and clients wanting my eggs. So I had a demand to meet. So that's what kind of, I think, my little homeschool project might have petered out if I hadn't have got this massive air in the public. Like, if not, yeah, hadn't gone to air and everyone knew who I was. Mm. And so through that, I kept growing my business. And then when I was 18... I got financially stuck, as in I needed to buy an egg cleaning grain machine, which I think you might have seen that video too.
I've seen that video, yeah.
I made that video because I couldn't get a loan from a bank to buy the egg cleaning machine, so I went to the public and did crowdfunding.
Yeah.
And that also got me more exposure in the community. And I think people realised what I was doing was quite different. And still is. Like, there's lots of free-range farms doing a similar model to me, but there's not many people who are actually certified organic. Like, it's pretty rare to be certified organic in the chicken industry. So I've always stood out there, and then I think my packaging's a bit different too. Like, it's quite bright and colourful, and it's actually got a picture of me on there. And not many egg cartons have the farmer's face directly on the packaging.
No.
So I think those few little things is what kept my homeschool project going, and which, you know, now supports me to have 3 little kids. Yeah. It's great.
And at a time, wasn't that the only thing making money on your farm? Like,
there
that
was, yeah, that you have seen the right video. In the drought, it probably was. Because the cattle and sheep were eating more hay than they were worth. Whereas the chickens, I was able to ask the price I needed for the eggs so that I could keep a profit, which was great.
And I know recently there's been a really big increase in egg prices. Mm. How has that affected you and your business?
Well, I haven't noticed it too much yet. I've always had a long list of shops and clients and cafes wanting eggs. So as soon as I have a spare box or two, I give them a call and got a new customer. It's probably only made it the demand for my eggs personally go up, really, which is great.
Well, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
What are some principles you had for farming from the very beginning? Like, at the very beginning, what were some things that you knew you wanted to do differently or were going to do differently?
Okay, so some of the things that I wanted to do differently have always been to show people how easy it is to be ethical in having happy, healthy animals producing good quality eggs that nutritionally benefit the person who eats them. So those kind of three, like, you know, doing it for the environment, doing it for the chickens, and then doing it for the humans.
Mm. Yeah. Because in a previous question, yes, we've already gone over that, which is pretty interesting. You sort of come full circle there.
Yes.
I was also wondering if you had a favourite way to cook them. Favourite recipe?
I change so often. Like, I'd love, you know, obviously fried and scrambled, but like eating them in quiches or omelettes. I've always been a massive mayonnaise like eater too, like
mayonnaise,
making raw mayonnaise with eggs. Egg ice cream. I make that for my kids
the
time.
Like French style.
Yeah. We eat a lot of eggs.
Yeah, you must do.
We all the cracked eggs, all the eggs with weaker shells end up in either my staff's kitchens or our kitchens, so there's always plenty of eggs to be eaten.
And are you mostly self-sustainable on the farm? Like, do you make enough food on the farm for you to eat?
Yeah, we're like, doing a pretty good job, Ned. I think, like, we obviously got lots of eggs, too many eggs. We have got a dairy cow, so we milk her. Her name's Glenda, so that's our milk. We don't make butter, so I still buy butter. And then my partner Ben, he has a business called Wildwood Organics, and so he grows all our veggies, so we definitely have all our own veggies. And then we also eat meat. My mum and dad grow, my mum grows lambs and so does my dad, so we have lots of lamb. And we don't seem to eat, like, we try and eat just the food that we produce, so. But we do trade at farmers markets, so if there's anyone who's got something special, we'll trade veggies or eggs for, which is great.
Mm.
Pretty balanced diet.
So before 9 months ago, which is when they figured out that technology that means they can breed only female chickens, I know that most of them were sold for meat or given to the zoo.
Yeah.
But you said that 15% of them are put down. And I was wondering why you do that.
Well, what's not technically me, it's the hatchery that I buy from. So they do that. They go to the zoo and then they were going to meet. Sorry about my dog barking. And then the ones that were put down, because there was just too many. Like, there wasn't, yeah, it's so sad. It makes me so upset.
So there's just too many chickens to give any more to the zoo or anything?
Yeah.
And they can't find anywhere else to give them?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad. At least it doesn't happen anymore.
I know, isn't that amazing? It's like the hundreds of years, like not hundreds of years, but like the entire time I've been farming, which is 21 years, that's what's happened to male chickens. And now it's stopped. It's so exciting.
And do you know how that technology works?
They change the heat during the incubation period ever so slightly to make all the eggs change female. It's really accurate, very specific science technology that, yeah, just changes it ever so slightly.
You said on your website that you have slightly more female than male chickens because of that. But how come it's gone from slightly more female chickens to 100% more female chickens?
From this amazing machine. I'll have to call the hatchery and get the name of it and I can let you know.
Yeah, you'll have to tell me.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to interview the machine.
Yeah, you should ask the hatchery. It's so cool.
Yeah, that's extremely cool. So, one more question, more last question, is what would a perfect world look like to you? Like, what are the ideal changes you would like to have happen?
Wow. Well, I would love to get rid of plastic. I'd love the oceans to have no plastic. I would love for, like, human and animal slavery to stop. I would love for everyone to know and know how to grow their own food. I would love for everyone to know, like, to grow food on nature strips, or be able to trade food and use compost toilets. God, that would be, I'd love to have a magic wand, Ned, and just like be like, woo, change the world. Unfortunately, I can't do that. We're doing it in our own small way, you and I. You're sharing people's stories and I'm farming the way I can.
Yeah. And would you have any recommendations for people who want to be more eco-sustainable, maybe want to have their own chickens? Like, is there anything you'd want to say to somebody wanting to make a change?
Just do it.
Just go off.
Go off and find some chickens. Buy some chickens. Gumtree always has good chickens for sale. People who have bred their own. There's been a few little studies where, like, communities have all had five chicken, like, people have been enforced to have chickens.
Like, no choice. You must have chickens.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and, it's, like, people thought it was hilarious. But everyone had their own chickens and they found something crazy, like 30% of the rubbish went down because everyone's food scraps went from going into the bins to going into their chickens', enclosure. And rubbish waste went down by 30%.
Wow.
And I was just like, wow. And then everyone had free eggs. Well, not free eggs, but virtually free eggs because their chickens can eat compost.
They
can eat food scraps.
How did that happen? Like, where did that happen? Like,
oh, this is where you're going to catch me out. I can't quite remember. It was somewhere in Europe. I want to say it was like Sweden or somewhere. I'll have to give that back, that information to you as well.
It was probably Finland or somewhere.
Probably
like
Finland, yeah, somewhere like that. It was, yeah, like, it was just like one village that they like enforced this. It was during lockdown, so it must have been the COVID time, 2020, 2021, as a bit of a like social experiment. And yeah, it went really well. Like, people loved it.
Wow.
Chicken prices went through the roof though.
Did they?
They were like crazy expensive.
Did you have to buy your own chickens when you did that, or did they just give out free chickens?
I think you had to buy your own, so there was a bit of a chicken shortage for a while, why everyone had to get their own chickens, which I probably didn't think about.
You weren't expecting it.
Yeah. Oh, one just flew into the house.
It's been extremely interesting interviewing you today, Madeline. I've really enjoyed it.
I've really enjoyed our conversation too, Ned. And I hope these chickens haven't been too noisy in the background.
Oh, no, that's absolutely okay. I would definitely have it again.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much. And let's keep changing the world.
For sure. Congratulations, you've made it to the end of this Noodlebugs podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Look out for other Noodlebugs podcasts that may be coming soon, and have a good day.